Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. I pray that you'd be so real to each and every person here. Lord, that we would know that you're listening. We know that you're here with us. Lord, the work that needs to be done in our lives, Father, I pray that you would reveal that to us, the areas of our life that we've kept hidden. Lord, may we open those areas up and allow your Holy Spirit to do a work this morning in each and every one of us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. What I want to talk to you all about this morning is foundation. I know I've preached on foundation recently. I don't know when. Like I said, I don't go back and look at my notes like I used to. I just try and do what the Holy Spirit's leading me to talk about for that day. And so Psalms 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain." And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, how many of us are building our house on all these things, but it's not really built on the Lord, and we're laboring and we're doing all this stuff in vain. We're not really accomplishing anything, maybe worldly things, but nothing for the kingdom of God, because God's really not at the center of our life. Do you guys remember the story? It's from 2008. I've told y'all the story before, but the New York Yankees baseball team was building a new Yankee stadium, and the construction workers, there's tons of construction workers there, and one of the construction workers was a Boston Red Sox fan, and so he took a David Ortiz jersey, who played for Boston, and put it in the foundation as they was pouring concrete. And word got out, I guess this guy did it to supposedly curse the Yankees. Word got out, I don't know all the details of it. They had to go and jackhammer up. They found the area, jackhammer up and pull out this jersey because it was in the foundation and it would corrupt the foundation. And I was reading about it yesterday because it's been a long time since I'd heard the story. And apparently it ended up with like a happy ending. They auctioned off the jersey to help this child's cancer research or something. And the jersey brought in all this money. But the jersey was just torn to shreds after they had to jackhammer it out. But it was an impurity in the foundation. So I've been delivering to this business over in the Fort Chaffee area, and they're expanding a new factory there. And so I go there a couple times a week, and it's amazing to me how they're digging down. I'm not an engineer, I'm not an architect, so I don't understand it all, but they're digging, it looks like this huge swimming pool. They're digging so deep. It's like higher than the ceilings that they're digging down deep. And I'm like, why are they digging all that out? And I'm thinking, you know, I know you got to dig down to get a good foundation. But then what really amazed me more is they're hauling stuff back in and filling it back in. And I'm like, well, why did you just dig all that out? And then you're filling it back in. And, you know, in my mind, and I might be wrong, if there's anybody that's an engineer or architect, maybe can straighten me out, but I thought, you know, they had to get out any impurities to make sure what they're building on is a firm foundation. And that's why I think they did it. They wanted to make sure that this huge factory that's going in is going to be able to stand, is going to be able to, you know, when storms come or the rains and the winds and all that, that this factory is going to be able to stand. And it really got me to thinking about the impurities in so many of our lives that's corrupting our foundation. And maybe this morning we need to do some deep digging inside our souls and get out those impurities so that we can be on a firm foundation once again. Many of you know this this, I don't know if it was a tree or a plant or what that was behind the nursery. And we'd cut that thing back several times. We had to keep cutting it back because it was growing into the building and messed up the screen on the windows, and it was getting the siding. So we'd cut it down more than once. But we'd cut that thing down almost to the ground. And you know what? Within a few years, it's growing back tall, getting into the building, getting into the foundation. And so a work day that we had a few weeks ago, Mike got in there and had to dig it out. Why did he have to dig it out? Because it kept growing back. So he had to get roots and all and dug that thing out, strapped it up and took it down there for us to burn it, because no matter what we did, just cutting it off at the surface, the thing kept coming back. What I want to ask you about today is, what is your relationship like with God? And maybe, what is your foundation of your life right now? See, for many people, I think their foundation is money. If they have enough money in their bank account, they have enough money in their savings account, they feel secure, they feel like everything's okay. You know, for some of us, our foundation may be on friends. If you have a lot of friends and you get to go and be active, and people's always inviting you to things, and you got a group of friends that you're always hanging out with, then you feel pretty secure. I know I can count on my friends. You know, for some of us, our foundation might be our family, and you know, our brothers or sisters or moms or dads, it might be a husband or a wife, and you feel like, okay, that's my secure foundation. Most of those things that I just said, there's nothing wrong with them. I hope you have great friends. I hope you have a great family. I hope, you know, you have those things in your life. But church, can I tell you something? I see so many people getting shaken to their core when those things aren't perfect. Does that make sense this morning? When their bank account's a little low, when they get in a fight with their best friend, when they lose a family member. There was a lady, and this was probably 20 years ago, that I'd counseled with, that had been married and divorced and was married again, and she just struggled, and she had struggles with addiction and different things. And she finally came to the realization. She said, I'm trying to find in a husband, I'm trying to find in this drug what I've realized only God can fill. My husband can't meet my every need. This drug can't meet my every need. Only God can fill this void. And when she came to the realization of that, and she began to put her life on Jesus Christ, and I hadn't seen her in probably 15 years, maybe 10 years, but last I knew, she was doing great, and she was living for the Lord. Y'all, for many of us, when our foundation is on the things of this world, and we get shook, and when things just aren't perfect, when things just aren't right. And this morning, maybe we need to do like they're doing in that factory, and we need to dig down in our hearts and dig down in our souls and get out those impurities and say, God, what have I been basing my life on? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. We're going to read 10 through 15. It says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And church, what that makes me think of is, is what is your foundation on? Could your foundation be burned up today by circumstances of life? If there's a bank robbery, if there's a stock market crash, is your foundation shook? Is your foundation on anything other than Jesus Christ? You need to be careful with what you're building your life upon, because the things in this world can be gone in an instant. But Jesus Christ, He's there for you. He's there for me. I want to go back to Luke chapter 6. Familiar text here, Luke 6. I actually read part of this verse 46 last week. Luke 6, 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. See, I believe even in the church today, there's so many here that's just superficial. They've not really dug down deep. Can I tell you something? If your foundation is based upon the Sunday morning sermon, you're going to struggle. See, when I think of digging down deep in the Word of God, I think of that's Monday morning. That's Monday night. That's Monday at lunch break. That's Tuesday. That's Wednesday. That's Thursday. That's Friday. That's Saturday. That's Sunday. That's every day that I'm digging down deep seeking God. Yo, we can't base our foundation in that daily walk with God from just a Sunday sermon. I'm thankful for each one of you being here, and it's important for all of us to be here, but this shouldn't be the foundation. If it is, you're going to struggle, but the digging down deep into the rock, the digging down deep is going, God, I need you. I'm struggling. Or God, I'm praying for this person. Or God, I need guidance in this situation. God, I need a miracle in this situation. And it's digging down deep between you and the Lord. How many of you have dug down deep to the rock? It says, when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. How many people do we see come to church for a week, for a month, for 6 months, and a tragedy's happened, and something is not gone right in their life, and we never see them again? And they're back to where they used to be. They're back in the bars. They're back seeking things from the world. I know they've never dug down deep and built their life on the rock. See, because when your life's on Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what's going on the outside. You've got that firm foundation that you know that you know that you know Jesus is there. I don't remember if I said this on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night. I think it was a Sunday morning, but a few weeks ago I was experiencing some things physically, and I didn't tell anybody. And I just kept praying. I said, Lord, do I need to go to the hospital? If I do, you need to show me. If I don't, then there's going to be no change in me. But if I need to go, then I need this and this and this to happen. I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to go to the hospital. And I kept praying, and I prayed, and I prayed, and it went on for 2 or 3 days. And finally, me and Crystal was walking one day, and I told her what was going on. And she kind of looked at me, and I said, I know that I know that I know, as long as Jesus isn't done with me, I'm okay. He'll make provision. He will take care of me. But when my time's up, then I know it doesn't matter what I do, I'm gone. And I'm going to be with Him. You know why? Because I know that I know that I know Jesus is my rock. He is my foundation. In the storms of life, when they come, I got to admit, there's been times that I have been shaken. There's been times that I don't understand. There's still things that I don't understand. But I know that I know that I know Jesus is my rock. But the one who hears my word and does not put them into practice is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. You see, church, you can tell me that your life is built on Jesus Christ, but here he's saying that it's when you put his word into practice, that's when there's proof that your life is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's not doing what Dr. Phil says. It's not doing what Oprah says. It's not the latest craze in the media. It's doing what the Word of God says. Then you know that your house is built on a firm foundation. We, many of you probably have stood on a beach, whether it's at the ocean or even a muddy beach or at a lake or something. And I've done it at a muddy lake, but it's more real at the ocean. And I've stood there before though, and just stood there and let the waves hit my feet. Have you guys ever done that? I don't know. I like that. You know, I like the waves crashing in and everything. But what happens? You sink, and you sink, and you sink. Why? Because there's no firm foundation there. Church, that's what many of our lives, I think, it happens to so many of our friends and family members. They sink because they've not dug down deep into the rock of Jesus Christ. Last fall, me and Crystal, we went to look at the fall colors, went up to Northwest Arkansas and stuff, and kind of took a little hike. It really wasn't a hike, but we saw these people stopped on the side of the road, and there was a path and some kind of history thing. I may have told y'all about this already. I'm getting old, so I'm telling you again. But we walked out, and it was right by Beaver Lake, and there was this. You could see these foundations all over, but it was from the 1800s. During the Civil War, there was a lumber mill there, and there was like history about all this. And you know, it's just amazing to me that those structures are long gone. But the foundation was still there because they dug down deep and they built a good foundation. So the foundation was still there, even though the structure was gone. And y'all, you know, in our lives, the outside's going to change. But are we well built on the inside? So I want to go kind of to another part now is, can you trust God to build your life on? Can you trust God to build your life on? John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." We know that Satan is a deceiver, right? So what does Satan do? What does he do? He gets our heart set on the things of the world. He gets our heart set on the desires of this world. And then when he dangles them out and we get a craving for that and we start chasing that, and then when we fail or when it crumbles, when it doesn't last, then what happens? He's there to destroy our faith. He's there to destroy our hearts. He's there to kill us. See, that's what the thief does. So many of you, like, if you come upon someone that you could tell is a predator, someone with a gun or violence, and you have an opportunity to get away, you're going to get away. But Satan doesn't do that. See, he sneaks in because he's there to deceive us and to get us chasing after these things that don't really matter. He says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So can we trust God with our foundation? Well, he's saying here that he's come that we may have life to the full. And I want to read this in Amplified, the same verse in Amplified. It says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy." And then, but listen to this, "I came that they may have and enjoy life." I thought, huh, how many people aren't enjoying life anymore? And I was thinking about that. What robs our joy? Can I tell you, in my house, what robs my joy is a lot of times the stress of finances. It'll rob my joy. When we were first married and struggling week to week and everything else, and y'all, One of the number one things, I hadn't looked at it in several years, but it's probably the same. One of the top reasons for divorce in this country is financial reasons. Because it causes stress on your marriage. It causes stress on your life. And what does it do? It robs your joy. So what does Satan do? He dangles this in front of you. You need this. You go buy it. Then you got a new payment. And then something else breaks. And then all at once you're broke. And then what? You're not enjoying life. You're struggling. Well, how did that even start? Because you desired something that you really had no business desiring in the first place. Are y'all getting this morning? See, that's what Satan does. But he says that, I have come that you may have life and enjoy it. That's just, you know, you can take that not just for financial, but in every area. You know, another thing that I see robbing people of their joy is not real friends. People that backstab, people that talk bad about you, people that manipulate you and they're only there to use you. You ever been around somebody like that? It'll rob your joy in a hurry. But you know what? When your life's based on Jesus Christ and we have a bunch of true believers here at this church, you can have that real friendship and you can enjoy it. You can enjoy life. And so, okay, I'm gonna read it. I came that they may have life. Have it and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Can we trust God to be the foundation of our life? Here he's saying that I want you to enjoy life. I want you to have an abundant life till it's full, till it's overflowing. So can I ask you this morning, what is your life based on? Do you not have joy? Are you not at peace? Is your life based on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Philippians 4:10 through 13 says, I rejoice in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Boy, you want to talk about a firm foundation, being content no matter the circumstances. And he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. You guys, we've all been there, maybe not to the extreme that Paul was, but we've all been there where we've had plenty and we've been in need. He says, I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. I got to tell you the truth, I'm not there yet when it comes to being hungry. I get grouchy when I'm hungry. And whether living in plenty or in want, he says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Are you struggling today? Is there a circumstance in your life that you're not happy with? The storms of this life, the tragedy, the things that's going on, have they robbed your joy? Have they robbed your peace? Go back to, I can do all things through Christ. Y'all, all things through Christ, does that mean, well, I lost my job, I can't handle it? Does that mean I've lost a loved one? I can't handle it. Does that mean, you know, I'm not where I want to be in my life? I wish I had this and I wish I had that. That means all things, that God can handle all things. That if we give it to Him, we can do everything, whatever we're facing, when our strength is found in Him. In Hebrews 13, he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In verse 6, he says, so we can have confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? See, when we have that firm foundation, we understand that God's saying, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that what can anybody do to me? Because I have God. I have the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The song that we sang, we hadn't sang that song in a long time, but that verse, it says, I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you. I want to speak right to you. Y'all, that's the reality of who Jesus is. He's here in this room with us this morning, that He's closer than a brother, that we can talk to Him, that we can know that He's here, that He's listening. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I went too far. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Second Corinthians 4:6, for God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You know what that's saying? This jar of clay that we're built out of, that what's going on in our life, the light that's shining, that it's coming from God. When you have your firm foundation on Jesus Christ, there should be a light. There should be something different about you for all to see. Verse 8 says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." Can we say that about our own lives? I'm in despair, I'm persecuted, I'm abandoned, I'm struck down, I've got disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, but you know what? I've got Jesus Christ, so I'm not destroyed. I'm not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that His life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. That would probably be a really good few verses to do a deep Bible study on, okay? But just at the surface, I want you to think about, we're given over to death for the sake of Jesus. How many of us are dying to the worldly pleasures and the things that the flesh want so that Jesus Christ might be revealed in our body? Y'all, it's an everyday struggle. It's an everyday struggle. There's things placed in our lives that we have a choice to make. Am I on the firm foundation of Jesus and I'm going to listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying? Or am I going to give in to the fleshly desires and chase after that? Every day we're faced with those desires going back and forth. Are we given over to death for Jesus so that His life may be revealed in our mortal bodies? So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving and overflow to the glory of God. So listen. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I don't want to go back and live my life over. I don't want to go back to high school and all that garbage. I don't want to go back to college. I don't want to go back to any of that. There's times that I miss when my kids were babies. There's times that I miss certain stages in life. I miss my grandparents terribly sometimes, and I'd like to see them, you know, but to go back. But can I tell you one thing that I would like to do? I would like to physically feel like I felt when I was in my 20s. I didn't realize how good I felt till now. I would like to feel that way. You know, and you in your 20s, you might think you hurt. Just wait. No, I ain't putting that on you. Hopefully you'll stay healthy. But y'all, my shoulder, you know, my back. I was out washing cars yesterday and I had to use my left hand because I couldn't use my right hand no more because of my shoulder. And you know, I got different things, you know, and I get up and in the morning and I look like an old man till I can get stretched out and get moving. Then I'm okay after I get moving, you know, but there's these aches and pains that are happening. But y'all, outwardly I may be wasting away, but inwardly I should be being renewed I'm not going to lie. There's times that I'm so disappointed in myself because I think I should be past that. I should be over that. Well, what's the problem, Pete? What's the problem is that I've been chasing after the flesh instead of Jesus. My foundation is getting off track. And then I start chasing after the things of the world instead of Jesus. And inwardly, I should be being renewed day after day after day. So even though this bald head and these gray whiskers are making me look older and older, but inside I'm getting stronger and stronger for Jesus Christ. He says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." It's hard when you're in the middle of a storm, isn't it? It's hard to see out. It's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel sometimes. It's hard when you're right in the middle of that struggle. Whatever it is, it's hard sometimes to see your way out. But y'all, that's all what is seen. And that's all temporary. But what's eternal is what's unseen. So can I ask you, what's going on the inside? Are you finding yourself day after day being more confident in your walk with God, being more faithful in what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, seeking Him more, digging in deep into His Word? I can't see that in your lives. I can see your nice hair and your big long beards or your short clean shaved face or whatever. I can see all the beauty on the outside. I can't see what's going on the inside. And some of you might be dying this morning on the inside. You might be saying, "Pete, I'm struggling." And some of you may be way more beautiful on the inside than how beautiful you are on the outside, because you've remained faithful, seeking God day after day after day after day after day. So what is seen is temporary. It's hard sometimes when I don't want to point things out about y'all. And sometimes, it's like I want to hear your struggle because y'all get to hear my struggle. You know, one of my coworkers this week got a brand new truck. And he is a pastor friend, and man, that truck's nice. And I was over looking at it and everything. It's like, man, I got a little jealous. I'm happy for him, but it's like, man, I would like that truck. But y'all, for me, God has not allowed me to go get $1,000 a month truck payment. He just won't allow me to do it, and my finances won't allow me to do it either. So, but y'all, what happens is that's what's seen. And so I could look at his truck, and then I could look at my car with the dented bumper and the hail damage, and it is so noisy you can't even hear sometimes in the cab because it rattles so bad. And I could go, "Wow, God, why aren't you blessing me?" But that's what's seen. But what's unseen is maybe God, what He's doing in my heart and my life, because He knows that's a struggle for me, saying, "Pete, maybe when you lay down that struggle, I can bless you." I don't know. Maybe when you quit being so worldly and materialistic, then I can open up the door. But right now, I can't trust you. Some of you may be in a circumstance right now where your life just doesn't seem fair, and you're looking around at what's seen. Social media is a lie. It's a lie. People edit, they filter. I saw a headline, I don't know, it was a year ago, I think, and this girl was supposedly out at some hiking in some mountains or something. And took a picture of supposedly she's out in the woods hiking at some beautiful place, and people called her out. It was her own backyard. She was lying. It was her backyard. She wasn't where she said she was. You look at social media, you look at what the world offers, and it's a lie. But Satan, that's what he does. He deceives us and he tries to suck us in to make us look at what's seen. And we go, I wish I had that. But y'all, we don't know what's unseen. And we don't know what's going on in their hearts. And we don't know what's going on in their life. And you don't know what's going on in my heart. And I don't know what's going on in your heart. But I know that what's unseen is what matters. And that foundation, most of the time, you never see a foundation, do you? Most of the time, you don't see a foundation in houses or buildings. But it's important, and it's there. And I was thinking about a house and how it gets worn down. The colors fade. We just had our work day painted our front doors and everything, made it look nice and new. But 5-10 years from now, they're going to need painted again. But y'all, those are just superficial. But if our foundation cracks and messes up here, this building, we're in trouble. And it's the same with your life. What's seen is temporary, but what's unseen is what's going on the inside. I want to read one last verse, a few verses, and we're going to end. John 14, because I want to just sum up with, can we trust God to build our lives on? First part was the foundation. Is your life based on Jesus? The second part, can we trust God to build our lives on? John 14, 1 through 6, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. He's gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? If you have, we can trust Him because He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. You know, sometimes we think of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that you're all alone. But no, Jesus says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And just like a mom or dad, when their child's scared in a room and you go in and you come alongside of them and you hold them, Jesus is going to be right there every step of the way with you and me if He is our foundation, if we put our trust in Him. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. Lord, I pray by the power of Your Holy Spirit that You've spoke to lives here this morning. The areas that we're struggling with, the areas that it seems like, Lord, we just can't have peace. We can't have joy. That right now, Lord, that we lay them at Your feet. Those areas, Lord, that Satan continues to deceive us and tempt us and lie to us and tell us that these things of the flesh, that these things of the world are good and it's the way to do things. Lord, that right now that You would reveal that to our hearts, to our minds, and that we'd confess it as sin, that we'd repent of it. And Lord, that we would know that Your Spirit is there to lead and guide us, that You're never going to leave us, that You're never going to forsake us. And Lord, these trials, these struggles that we're going through, it's part of life. It's part of being in a fallen world. But that when we have our foundation set upon You, Lord, we know that this isn't it. That this is temporary. But what's unseen, Lord, that what's underneath will carry us through. And that's the firm foundation of putting our trust in You. Lord, may Your Holy Spirit do a work now in my life, in every life in here. And may our foundation only be built upon You in every area, in every relationship. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything this morning, the altars are open.
If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear Your voice, If the storms of life they come and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. And I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son.
It's kind of a side note. If any of y'all would want to help Tina Gray's family out, Susie was saying that I guess she can't cook or anything right now, and so Susie took them dinner one night, and then her sister took them dinner another night. But if anybody would like to help in any way, let me know, and maybe we can take them a few meals here or there. But Tina right now is still in the hospital. We don't know when she's coming home, but it's just her husband at home. Is her son still home? Oh, okay. So her husband and son still live in the home. So, anyway, if anybody would like to help and just keep lifting that family up in prayer. We are going to have prayer tonight at 6. If anybody wants to come, you're more than welcome. Like I said, don't let the Lord lead. If you've already got other plans, if you're busy, whatever, let the Lord lead. But I'm going to be here at 6 and open up the church if anybody'd like to come. And if the first weekend of May, either that Sunday or Saturday would be okay for some kind of fellowship, let me know. If it's not okay, let me know. Okay? So y'all have a blessed afternoon.